live in victory and to reign in life. Sin is not to reign in your life. Poverty is not to reign in your life. Sorrow is not to reign in your life. Sickness is not to reign in your life. Bondages and depression, they are not to reign in your life. Circumstances, they are not to reign in your life. You are to reign in life by Jesus, because Jesus has made us more than conquerors, which brings me to my text, Romans 5:17. Look at this, powerful. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. He's talking about Adam. Now, I like this word right here. Much more. Say that with me. Much more. They which receive, look at this, abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, you will never be able to reign in life, and you will never master all of life if you leave Jesus out of the equation of life. We reign in life, and we are masters of all of life by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through him and by him and in him that we live, we move, and we have our being. And if you can understand why he came and what he did, you will be able to rise up and reign in life by Jesus Christ. If you will put him first in everything and obey his words, you will be able to rise above all the circumstances of life. My subject this morning, reigning in life by Jesus Christ. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lion of praise, and praise will give you your breakthrough. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you for the word of God. It is living. It is powerful. It brings revelation. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. You said, I watch over my word to perform it. Give us revelation this morning, O Lord. Take these words that you've given me. Add what you want to add to it, O God. Bring us forth as pure instruments of gold in your hands. Give us that listening ear. Thank you for the anointing to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Jesus came into this world for three reasons. Number one, I'm going to give them to you, then I'm going to go one by one on. Number one, he came to fulfill prophecy. Number two, he came to reveal the Father. And number three, he came to accomplish redemption. And if you're going to reign in life, you have to understand what I'm talking about today. Number one, he came to fulfill prophecy. The Bible says that Jesus would be born of a virgin, that he would be a Nazarene, and he was. The Bible says that he would be born in Bethlehem, and he was. The Bible says he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, and he was. The Bible says they will smite the shepherd, and the sheep would be scattered, and all of that was fulfilled. The Bible says he would come, and he would die on a cross. And according to Psalms chapter 22, his hands and his feet would be pierced, even though crucifixion on a cross was not even known at the time that David penned those words. The Bible says all these things about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would give his back to the smiters and he would die for our sins. The Bible says he would be wounded for our transgressions. He would be bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace would be upon him, and with his stripes we would be healed. And Jesus fulfilled all of these promises. And they are all in the Old Testament today, and they shine like gold and glitter like diamonds because Jesus Christ has fulfilled each and every prophecy that was ever stated about his coming. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. So first of all, your Savior came to fulfill all prophecy. Secondly, Jesus came to reveal the Father. Hallelujah. So many people today, they're afraid of God. They don't know that God is a good God, that God is a God of mercy. Hallelujah. That God is a God of love. And they just think that God is a God of wrath. Too many people have been taught that God is punishing you for your past sins. And they say, I've done this and I've done that and I'm so guilty and I'm so bad and I'm so unworthy. And they think that God could never forgive them. Then there are Christians that have been taught that it is God who makes them sick and they are suffering for God. And they fail to realize that Jesus came to reveal the Father. And the Bible says how God, the Father, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. If you want to see what the Father looks like, then look at Jesus as he walks through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus is a picture of the Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Don't go by what the church says God is like. Don't go by what religion says God is like. Go by what the Bible says God is like. Because the only way you can ever know God and know what God has provided is through the precious Word of God. This Word will speak to you. This Word will talk to you. And if you put this words in your mouth and start saying what God says instead of what your circumstances say, your faith will bring the glory of God into your life and you will see God do the supernatural things that He has promised in His Word. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so thrilling to see what God is like. He's a good God. He's a loving God. He's a God that is full of mercy. Mercy walked in, Brother Ray. He's a God that is full of compassion. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I've come to do the Father's will. He said, the works that I do, they're the works of the Father. So just follow Jesus around through the pages of the Bible, and you will see what God the Father is like. Somebody go on and praise Him. Jesus Christ, He heals the sick. He casts out devils. He relieves the oppressed. He sets the captive free. And He performs all types of miracles. He is full of love. He is full of mercy. Hallelujah. Do you want to know what that is? Do you want to know who that is? That is God the Father revealing Himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, from my heart. Well, thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, from my heart. Well, there's no doubt about it. I'm going to sing and shout it. Thank you, Jesus, from my heart. Somebody go and praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, we see the majesty and the love and the compassion of the Father in the face of Jesus. He stands before the woman that is taken in adultery. And all those religious people, they're standing around and they throw her down. And they say, the law says we should stone her to death. But what do you say? You know, that is religion at its worst. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory. Thank God for His amazing grace. These people, they are pointing an accusing finger at fallen humanity. And this little woman taken in the act of adultery, there she is guilty. And now the love of God is revealed in the Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus stooped down and He touched the dirt and He wrote on the ground. I've got a sermon. He touched the dirt. That's what He did for you and me. He reached way down and touched us. Didn't matter how far down we'd gone. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. Transgressions, they're just light acts of disobedience. But iniquities, they are gross sins. Doesn't matter how far down you've gone. Doesn't matter how little you've done or how great the sin. He stooped down. Woo! He touched the dirt. Glory to God. And He wrote on the ground. And then He looked up and He said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And He began to write again. And one by one, her accusers, they walked away. Because no one is without sin. And Jesus, He stood up. And He stood up to lift suffering humanity back up to God. Thank God Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's a loving God. He's a wonderful God. He's a merciful Savior. Hallelujah. Jesus stood there and lifted that woman, and he said, "Where are your accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, my Lord." She didn't just need a Savior. She needed a Lord. She said, "No man, Lord." And now hear the words of Almighty God to broken, fragmented, suffering, dying, crying humanity. "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Aren't you glad that you're in the kingdom today? And the kingdom's not out there and over there, but the kingdom is within. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Do you need a joy infusion? Then look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, suffering the shame. And here's where I want you to see him. And is set down at the right hand of his majesty on high, Lord and high priest of a new and a better covenant that he cut with his own precious blood. His blood redeemed you. You are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but God paid heaven's greatest best, all heaven's best, heaven's greatest resource. He gave his son to redeem you and me. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you, Jesus went about healing all sickness, all disease, driving out demons of those who were deranged. He is a mighty deliverer. And all the time that he was here, he was revealing the love of God the Father. Oh, religion has given us, you know, such a short view of what's in the Bible. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Ask God to open your eyes and to show you what belongs to you. You don't need to preach all the time. You need the great counselor, the Holy Ghost. You need to talk to him. You don't need to read your Bible from your perspective of what you've been taught. You need to read your Bible from what the Word of God has to say to you personally. Read good books about that, where God has given other revelation. Read those. You can get some good information, but read the book. If you read the book, the Holy Ghost will give you your own personal revelation if you can put all that religion out of your mind. As long as you hold on to religion, you will be held captive by the devil. He does not want you to know who you are in Christ and what Jesus Christ has done for you. He does not want you to reign in life by Jesus Christ. He will do everything he can to stop you. And if you hear an old negative voice, it's the devil. I told you my blood type is B positive. Hallelujah. God is a positive God, and you've got to be positive if you want the treasures from the glory world. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. One man said he's the God of the second chance, third chance, fourth chance, or 1,000 chances. If you messed up a million times, let me tell you something. God's got a light burning for you, and he wants you to come home. God never gives up on his dream for you. He has thoughts. He has dreams that he's planned just for you. You may be an alcoholic and say, "I've tried this, and I've promised this, and but I've done this, and I've done that." Let me tell you something. God is not going to give up on you, and God will never give up on you. If you will rise up and take Jesus into your heart and yield your life to him, he will break every chain, every power of alcoholism, every drug addiction, every bondage that has ever come against your life. Jesus is truly a chain breaker. Woo! That's my testimony. He broke every chain. And guess what? Goodness and mercy. Oh, my God. They're just chasing me down everywhere I go. They're on my trail. Hey, goodness. Hey, mercy. How you doing? Hallelujah. I'm headed to a land where the caretakers are angels. Glory to God. Where the streets are paved with gold. Every meal shall be a banquet. The city director is called the Lamb's Book of Life. Eyes not seen, ears not heard. It's not even into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But you don't have to wait till you get over yonder. You can get his stuff while you're down in here. You can reign in life as kings and priests unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, if you know who you are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not only did Jesus come to fulfill prophecy, not only did he come to reveal the Father, but thirdly, Jesus came to accomplish redemption. Now, when you realize this, that is when you can begin to reign in life. But if we don't understand redemptive revelation, we will never win the battles of life. Let me say that. If you don't understand redemptive revelation, you will never win the battles of life. So, Pastor, what is redemptive revelation? Somebody said, well, he died to show that good overcomes evil. No, that is not why he died, and that is not redemptive revelation. Somebody said he died as a prophet. He's a great prophet. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus is more than a prophet. Many people think that Jesus was a great teacher and a great prophet and a good man, but they don't think that he's the Son of God. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If Jesus is not the Son of God, he is not a great prophet. He is not a great teacher. And if Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, he is the biggest lie, he is the biggest fake, he is the biggest imposter that the world has ever seen, because Jesus said, I am the Son of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's more than a prophet. He's more than a good man. He's more than a teacher. He is the Son of the living God. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Go on and praise him. And he proved that by his own resurrection. Death could not handle him. The grave could not hold him. At the precise moment that God had planned on his eternal time clock, up from the grave he arose. He is the resurrection and the life. Psalms 22, it pictures Jesus on the cross. It starts out with a cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then it says, they pierced my hands and my feet. And all of this is revealed by the psalmist back there hundreds of years before it was ever fulfilled in the gospel. But think about Jesus. They took him from the garden to Pilate's hall. Pilate washed his hands and said, I am free from this guilt. I am innocent of this man's blood because I find no fault in him. And they took him and they led him out to be crucified. And he's bearing his own cross. And he went to a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. My wife and I, we've been there. We stood right there at the base of that hill where he was crucified. They laid him on the cross. That cross is no longer there. But the reality of the cross, it lives on today. And the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. They laid him on that cross. They drove nails through his hands and his feet. And just like David had prophesied hundreds of years before, they pierced his hands and his feet. They nailed him to that cross. And then they raised him up. And that cross fell into its socket. And it shook and trembled, bearing our sin. That wasn't an unusual thing at that time when the Roman Empire was in control, because thousands of people had been crucified by them before. That was not what redeemed the world, but it was who was on that cross and what Jesus did in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. When they raised him up, it was God manifest in the flesh, up on that cross to fulfill the prophecy and to fulfill God's plan of redemption. And the Bible says that during that time, the earth went into a convulsion. The animals lay down in the meadow. The sun pulled a drape over its face and said, I can no longer praise him because he has died. Gross darkness covered the earth, and all of creation went into mourning because the creator of all things, the Son of the living God, He was dying on that cross, and he was bearing the sins of all of humanity. And it was for far greater purpose than man could ever imagine. The Bible said he bore the sins of the whole world. Somehow God reached back to Adam, and he took every sin, Adam and Eve, every sin they had ever committed. Every man, every woman, every child, every curse word, every murder, every theft, every act of adultery and fornication, every act of rebellion and unbelief. He took it all up to that time, and then God reached forward to every generation that would ever come in the future, down to the last man and the last woman. And he gathered all the sins of suffering humanity up, and then he took it, and God the Father in his love cast the sins of the whole world upon the sacrificial lamb. What a Savior. What a price he paid for us. What a wonderful, wonderful God that would redeem us with the precious blood of his own Son. Is there any wonder, my friends, that Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? His own Father had turned his back on him. Why? Because he became sin with our sin. He was made sin with our sin, so we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. He took our place. He took our shame. He took our rebellion. He took our wickedness, and he bore it on himself, and God turned his back on him. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. You want to know how much God loves you? He spared not his own Son, but delivered him up on that cross so you could walk in victory, so you could reign in life, so you could be healed, so you could be blessed, so you could come out of darkness and walk in the light of God's word and become more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Hoshai. Glory to God. He's a great God. What a wonderful Savior we have. Jesus bore it all. I was walking down the beach, and I heard the voice say, he gave us back to the smiters. And I stopped, and I took my little phone out, and I looked that up. It is actually Isaiah 50, verse 6. Look at what Jesus said. Isaiah 50, verse 6. He said, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. They pulled a, ripped his beard out. I hid not my face from shame and from spitting. They spat in his face. And he bore it all. He opened not his mouth, but as a lamb led to the slaughter, he took it all for you and for me. That was 700 years that verse was spoken there, Isaiah 50, verse 6, before Jesus ever went to the cross. Oh, yes, my friends, he came to provide redemption. Isaiah chapter 53 is known as the great redemptive chapter of the Bible. And it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God. But by his stripes, we are healed. He took every cancer. He took heart disease. He took arthritis. He took kidney failure. He took loneliness. He took depression. He took every pain. He took every disease that ever could come against you, and he took it upon himself. The Bible says he was made sin with our sin. The Bible says he bore our sickness and our pain. The Bible says he became a curse for us. Amen. The curse that was against us, he took that upon himself. And he took all the misery of Deuteronomy chapter 28. He took all the heartache, all the disease, all the poverty, and he took it all upon himself. I'm going to tell you something. That was a great price that was paid for this salvation. Look at Isaiah 53 and 4. The prophet said, surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And here we were, wandering around as sinners. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Sin, sickness, disease, and the curse. But there's something even more that thrills my heart so much. The Bible says he tasted death for every man. For every human being, he tasted death. He reached out in that state of being separated from God, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What does it mean? What is he saying? He's saying, I am forsaken, so you will never be forsaken. He is saying, he turned his back on me, so he will never turn his back on you. I'm taking your curse. I'm taking your sin. I'm taking your sickness. I'm taking your disease. I'm taking your place. I'm tasting your death. Thank God that once we're saved and make Jesus, we no longer fear death, because death is only a door through which we go to get to our Heavenly Father for eternity. I remember the old church. You remember? Some of you were there. I was up preaching, and all of a sudden I just began to feel terrible. I mean, I'm feeling bad. And I was preaching a sermon, You Can Make a Difference. I'll never forget that day. And finally, I just gave an altar call and went over and sat down in my chair. And as I'm sitting there, gave an altar call, the saints are coming up. All of a sudden, I'm just started leaving. And I'm going up, up, up. I'm leaving my body. Brother Clark is a nurse, full time. Brother Billy, where is he? Brother Billy Lewis, he was working with EMP. Marie Renfro, she was there, a registered nurse. They took my pulse and couldn't find my pulse because I wasn't there. I was gone. And as I ascended, going up, 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 all of a sudden I saw the greatest light I've ever seen in my life. I saw the glory of God. When I saw that, there was no fear. I was not afraid. I felt the greatest peace I've ever known. But I knew I was leaving. And I was looking down on everybody in that church. I could see them praying for me. I could see my wife standing there talking to me, Jerry, Jerry, Jerry. And I started back, and I came in my body. She said, Jerry, 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 you do know Psalms 91:16, don't you? I said, I sure do. With long life will I satisfy thee and show thee my salvation. When he said that to me, he said, glory. I don't understand why he said glory, but I do now. Hallelujah. He showed me the glory. Two of the women in our church, Sister Eula Mae Brantley, she's in heaven now, and Sister Selvage, Edith Selvage, they were there, and they asked my wife, they said, I wonder if Pastor saw that light that was all around him. Said, that was a bright light all around the pastor. I told my wife, I said, I didn't just see that light. I looked up into the brightest light I've ever seen. I did everything but look into the face of Jesus. And when I saw that light, I came back. Hallelujah. Death is just a doorway to which we go to get to our Heavenly Father. There is no fear in death when you know Jesus Christ. He's taken the sting out of death and the victory out of the grave. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus suffered for the whole world. Look at 1 Timothy 3:16. Paul said, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Paul said, we confess beyond all questions, this is a great mystery. The mystery of true godliness is a great mystery. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in this world, received up unto glory. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth, and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That name carries power. And if you'll put that name on your lips and start speaking it to sickness and disease, to poverty, to whatever's bound you, whatever the circumstances of life, command it to move in the name of Jesus. He said, if you'll speak to that mountain, it will move and nothing shall be impossible to you. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God the grave could not hold him. The devil shouted and the demons screamed with glee. But I want you to know something. The grave couldn't hold him. He came out of that grave with a glorified body. And he's not dead, but he's alive forevermore. Then he went into the spiritual realm and he defeated the devil. Hallelujah. And he conquered the devil, death, and the grave, and he did it all for you and me. He took the crown from the enemy's head. He took the keys out of the enemy's hand. And on the Isle of Patmos, he appeared and said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. Hallelujah. I'm going to let that sit on you. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Glory. He's alive. And he rules and he reigns as the reigning monarch of the university. All of it's under his control and his power. So what am I saying? Well, once you understand this, if you understand that sickness and disease and misery and poverty and all the havoc of the human race, once you understand God is not the author of that, but it's all the work of the devil and Jesus conquered it, once you understand that, my friends, you will understand redemption. It's more than just being saved. We are to rule and reign as kings and priests unto God here on planet Earth. You said, I'm not living like that. That's why God has you here. He wants to get some revelation into your mind. He wants you to see who you are in Christ. And I'm going to do a series on this. And I'm going to take what religion is what caused me. Hey, Sister Becky, how you doing? We were working together, and I got a hold of some new creation realities, and I wrote them all down. And I used to teach this. And I asked Sister Becky one day, I said, will you type this for me? She types about 90 words a minute. I'd ask her sometime, I said, if you type this, she said, I don't know. I said, how could you type it not know it? See, I read what I type. I type about 60 words a minute, but she's 90 plus. She said, I don't read it. I just look at it. She's got finger memory like a musician. You don't think about the notes you're going to play. You just play them. And that's how she types. And I asked her to type that for me, and she did. And I started giving it out to people to help him. And one day there was a man at the plant, and he was having some trouble. So I started from the front of the plant, and I was headed to the back to take this to a man. And one of my Christian brothers, who's religious, he stopped me. He said, where you going? I said, I'm going to the back of the plant to take this to a man, a Christian brother that's having trouble. Would you like a copy of it? He said, no, I don't want that. That's just your ideas. I ripped the front page off of it. I said, would you like it now? All it is the word of God telling you that you're a new creation in Christ. You're the righteous of God. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. It tells you who you are, that sin has no dominion, that you're more than a conqueror. Would you like a copy of it now? He said, no, I don't want your ideas. I said, I can't help you at all, brother. And I turned and walked away. And I went to the back of that plant, and there was a man on the way as I was going there. He was going through a great trial. William Powell is his name. And I stopped by to see him, and I had a little song in my heart, and it was on my lips. And he was telling me, my wife has lost a job, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I gave him a word of prophecy. It came over me. I didn't plan what to say. I just spoke to him. And I gave him that little song, and I said, I got to go. I'm headed to a meeting. And I walked away. He told me later, sitting in a restaurant, he said, you come by. You gave me a word of prophecy. You gave me a song. He said, and I went home the next day. My wife got a better job than one she lost and had all kind of benefits. Isn't God a good God, Jerry? Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. You just need to know these redemptive rights. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are what God said you are. So don't be like a worm in the dust and say, I'm not worthy. Don't listen to religion. Say what God says. God says you are worthy. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God has made you worthy. God has qualified you. God has made you a new creation in Christ. You have his life. You have his nature. You have his spirit. You have his blood. You have his name. You have his word. You have his power. And the angels of the Lord camp round about them that love him. Hallelujah. There are angels camped all around you today. You know, I can just see the angels in the glory world now. Say, let's go down to Westmoreland. I believe they're having camp meeting down there today. Let's go camp round about them and get in on what God is doing. Hallelujah. Rambo shalabarande de bogo shataya. You said, I don't understand that. I heard John Osteen. He said, he did that. He said, somebody said, what does that mean? He said, I don't know, but it sure does feel good. Woo! Hallelujah. Sure does feel good. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. And Paul said, I'll pray with the Spirit and I'll pray with understanding. So just ask God what it means. He'll let you know if you're full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So you have all those things from God. So what are you going to do about it? You can lie down and you can let the devil defeat you every day. Or you can rise up in the name of Jesus and be a master of all of life. And God's idea for you is that you will rule and reign in life as kings and priests unto God. So stand up to the devil. Stand up to your marriage problems. Stand up to that poverty. Stand up to that sickness and disease. Stand up to that dark cloud of depression that comes over you. Stand against it and say, no, 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 you don't, devil. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I'm a child of the King. I'm washed in the blood. I'm more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want you to know, if you will do that in Jesus' name, the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. God will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil. Woo! He will flee from you. Am I preaching Bible? Hallelujah. I want you to look at my text once again. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. God wants you to master all of life. He wants you to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You may be going through the storm of your life, but I'm going to preach a sermon on that tonight, that you can rise above the circumstances. That's what God has purposed for each and every one of us. But until you know these things, you can never reign in life. Pastor Ricky, you must receive redemptive revelation. You must act on the word of God. And you must speak and decree what God has said about you. And as you rise up and speak the word of God, you will find that you are no longer defeated, but you are victorious because you are ruling and reigning by one Jesus Christ. Let us stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
There is none
like you, Lord.
Like you. And no one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity.
These altars are open. If you want to come and talk to this great Redeemer, if you're lost, you can be saved. If you're going through a storm, all he has to do is whisper, peace be still.
Like you.
Never man spake as that man spake, Jesus, the Son of the living God.
No one else can touch
my heart like you do. I'm looking at it, testimonies. People that have been slaves to sin. People that alcohol and drug and addictions and all the works of darkness have held them captive in the past. When all they've got to do is rise up and make their way to Jesus. There's none like him. Hallelujah. He wants you and me to reign. To reign in life as kings and priests. Hallelujah. Glory.
Eternity long. I'll never find.
Lord, there is none. Don't let the devil hold you in your past. God is a whole lot more interested in your future than he is in your past. Let me say that again. God is a lot more interested in your future than he is in your past. Hallelujah. Glory. Woo! Love you, Lord. We praise you for who you are, what you did. You came to reveal the love of the Father to us.